All right, so this past year or so, we've talked a lot about our identity in Christ, who we are. We're sons and daughters. We're saints. We're friends of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus, which means we're his brothers and his sisters. We are part of the family of God, and so we talked about all that that should mean and what that should look like. We've talked about our relationship with Jesus a lot and deepening that relationship and broadening and lengthening that relationship. And so I was praying about what to speak about today, and the Lord brought to mind, well, out of identity and understanding who you are and out of relationship with me, you need to understand that I have plans for you. I thought, okay, I can talk about that. So some of us are planners and some of us aren't. I'm like the extreme planner. So I'm going to give you two examples. So for vacation, now we just finished our family vacation. We went to the Poconos and we did little day trips from up there. So we went to Knoebels and we went to an animal farm and did all kinds of things. Just hold on. And so, see, now she wants to give my sermon. So, the opposite of planning is spontaneity, which is where I'm going with this. So the week after we get home from family vacation, I'm already thinking, okay, where do we want to go next year? And I start investigating and exploring, and I go online, and I look at cities, and I look at vacation destinations, and how long will it take us to drive there, and what about when 9 kids show up there? And so I have all these things that are running through my mind, and then I look at prices and availability. And usually, 9 to 11 months before the next vacation, I have it booked. And as my wife said, it's tentative because I've already booked it and then canceled it and changed it, but I already have a place booked for next summer. Now, on the other side of that spectrum, we weren't married that many years, and I thought, you know, I have to learn to be a little more spontaneous. And because my wife is, we don't plan at all, we just jump in the car and go. So, you know, opposites attract, but those opposite things can cause some friction once you're married and in the same house. They were great when you were dating. Now you're in the same house, and now the person has a completely different personality, right? So she says, hey! Now, we had Stephanie. Baby Stephanie was just a baby. Couple months, less than a year at least, okay? And she says, let's jump into the car and go to Ocean City, New Jersey, right? Okay, I've never even been to Ocean City, New Jersey. So this was out for me. But I thought, okay, I've got to learn. So I said, okay, we'll go. So we threw some stuff in the car. We threw baby Stephanie in the car. We get to Ocean City, New Jersey. And she said, oh, there's going to be spots everywhere. We'll just pick one. I'm saying, okay. We drove up the street. No, 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 no. We turned around and drove down the street. No, 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 no. We're like, okay, we're going to have to try one of the back streets. So we go to the back street. No, 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 yes. We finally found a yes. This was something from a gangster movie in the 30s. Honestly. Dark paneling, red carpet, red wallpaper, flocked red wallpaper. We get in our room and I said, all we have is a sink. We didn't even have a bathroom. We had to share a bathroom with the hall. Needless to say, we have never gone on a spontaneous vacation since then. Now you know why I plan 9 to 11 months ahead of time. Yeah, that was an adventure. It was definitely an adventure. So here's here's the question, though. Do you know God also makes plans? When you think of God, you think, well, he doesn't have to make plans. Yeah, he does. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, I honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. So not only does God make plans and accomplish them, he has plans for every single person. You're like, oh, come on, Pastor Steve. Yeah, he does. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. We could talk about just that. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So that, listen, we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Come on. So he has plans for us, each individual person. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. How long ago? Psalm 139. You saw me before I was born. Huh? Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day. That's a planner. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? So that means that none of us were accidents. That means that he knew how tall or how short we were going to be. He knew the color of our eyes. He knew everything about us. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And he was saying that to Jeremiah, but the fact that he knew us before we were born applies to every one of us, even while we were being formed in our mother's womb. Everything about us, every day was planned. That's a planner. So God had plans for you and I before we were even born. So that means he had plans on where we would work, where we would live, who we would marry, again, what we would look like. He knew at 65 I wouldn't have much of this left here on top. I mean, he knew all of those things about us. Now, just to be clear, in case anybody's confused, he never plans for anyone to have sickness or disease. Just so you understand that we're not saying that. So what kind of plans did God have for us? Jeremiah 29:11. And I bet a lot of you have this memorized. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? Good, not for disaster or evil, to give you a future and a hope. So if that's his plans for us, does that mean we'll never have trials or difficulties? Did that mean the people in here never had trials or difficulties? Well, if you think that, you haven't read it lately. Look at the trials and difficulties Paul had, David had. Okay, I could just go through and name everybody. Trials and difficulties. Well, if those were not part of God's plan, then why do we have trials and difficulties? Well, sometimes it's because we live in a world of free will. That means other people make choices they shouldn't make. Right? To do things, to cause things to happen. But it also means, now I know it doesn't apply to any of you, but we can think of somebody it might apply to. Sometimes we don't make the best choices. And so since we don't make excellent choices all the time, that means that we sometimes suffer the consequences of our choices. Right? You know, if I choose to drink and get a little too much drink and get up on the highway and go down 81 at 88 miles per hour and something happens, that wasn't because that was God's plan for my life. That's because I made some choices that weren't so great. So sometimes we have trials and difficulties because of choices other people made. Sometimes we have trials and difficulties because of choices that we had made. Jeremiah was a prophet that we just read that verse about. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But he was writing to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel was in captivity, not because that was God's plan for their life, but because of bad choices that they had made. So I want to investigate and look at that with you just a little more today. So we're going to be in Jeremiah. So it's a couple books after Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and we're going to start right there in chapter 1. So I'm going to give you a minute. Open your phones, open your Bibles. Oh, yes, and I need my phone for one of the things I want to read later. Out of another version. So while you're opening up yours, I'll open up my Bible app. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we are going to start in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and we've read this verse before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, and I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, O Lord. In other words, huh? You've got to be kidding me, O God, because I don't know how to speak, and I am a youth. Okay, God called him. God said, here's the plans I have for your life. And his first thing was to think of two reasons why those plans wouldn't work. And those two reasons were, number one, I don't speak well in front of people. Okay, this guy never spoke well in front of people. When he had to get in front of people, he got sick. Almost literally sick. Never would have guessed that that was the Lord's plan for me. And then he says, but I'm a youth. We have Mr. Ryan, who was a youth and prayed for me this morning. You know, God didn't accept those excuses from him, did he? I don't know how to speak, and I'm a youth. But the Lord said, do not say, I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And you know that Jeremiah did accept God's plan for his life. He did step into that plan. And everything he pronounced that the Lord gave him, it happened. And the nation of Israel was captured and transported to Babylon. He told them it was going to happen. They didn't believe it. But they were captured and they were transported to Babylon. So now we want to turn toward the end of that story, Jeremiah 29. So now the nation is in Babylon. They've been captured and exiled. And God speaks to Jeremiah and says, send this word to them. Jeremiah was one of the few people that stayed back in the actual nation of Israel. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. 29, verse 4. So again, I'll give you all a minute. I see phones. I hear paper crinkling. Okay. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile. Remember, I said it was because of their bad choices? From Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what he told them to do while in exile. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives. Become fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, don't decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Huh? Now come on, they're in Babylon, and they are captives, but he said, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, don't let the prophets who are in your midst or your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I haven't sent them. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you. Okay, my plans, my promises. I will fulfill them and I'll bring you back to this place. And God said they'd be there 70 years. Guess how long they were there? 70 years. For I know the plans I have for you. See, here's this verse, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Boy, that'd be a hard word to receive when you were in exile and in captivity in a foreign land. But they had to hold on to that promise of God's plan for 70 years. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Remember today we talked about having a personal encounter? He wants us to seek after him, and he wants us to do it wholeheartedly. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. In other words, he will let us discover him. He will let us know him better. He will reveal himself to us more. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. So God has good plans for you and I. Good plans for you and I. So I have two great questions this morning, and I hope you're asking them. I hope that the words you heard so far stirred up these two questions. How do I discover those plans? And how do I find and move forward in those plans? See, it's one thing to say God had every day planned, and he had planned where we live and who we marry and our careers and what we're going to do, but we have to discover those plans. We have to find out those plans. So I have three different ways for us to discover his plans for our lives. Number one, we have to decide we want to follow that plan. Because you can just ignore it. You can say, well, this is what I want to do. Okay, I'm a junior in high school, a senior in high school. I have my whole life planned out. You know, this is the college I'm going to. This is what I'm going to study. I'm going to find somebody while I'm there to marry. Then I'm going to come back and get this job that pays this much money, and this is the kind of house I'm going to have. Or you can say, no, I surrender my plans and my will to you, Lord. Do you remember when you accepted Christ, what you prayed? and what the person probably prompted you to pray, and I will follow you the rest of my life. And we say that we're his disciples, we're his followers. So that means on a daily basis, we should really be praying, what's your plans for me today? What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? Now, sometimes, yes, our day's planned because we have a job, we have to go to work. But how about before I go to work? He might even have plans for you while you're at work. Come on, to talk to a certain person, pray for a certain person, sit next to a certain person at lunch. And then what's his plans on your way home when you stop at Walmart? Okay. And with me being a future planner, then maybe it's, okay, what's your plans for me next year so I can start heading in that direction? Do you remember Jesus went and found some people doing something? They were fishing, and he called them, come and follow me. In other words, surrender what you're doing. Even surrender to some of them their legacy and inheritance, because their grandfathers were fishermen, their fathers were fishermen, they've been trained to be fishermen. And then Jesus said, but lay that down and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. So, number one was, we need to be willing to surrender. Need to be willing to surrender. If we want to find his plans and go after those plans, we need to be willing to surrender. Some of us, that's easier than others. Because some of us are planners and we have things we want to accomplish and do, but the question is, are you willing to surrender? Number two, you have to seek after and find that plan. So first you have to say, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, go where you want me to go, live where you want me to live, marry who you want me to marry, follow the career you want me to follow. Then how do I find that out? I have some good ways. Number one, you read the written word. Now, am I going to find in here, when you're 56 or 57 years old, I want you to start working at the credit union? I don't think that's going to be in here. But what you're going to find in here is his principles, his methods, his ways, and himself. So that if you hear something, you'll recognize, you know, I don't think that's God. That doesn't line up with his nature. That doesn't line up with what I'm hearing in here. Or you might have the opposite response. Yes, that sounds like that could be God. So you read the written word to better understand him and know him, so that you have better discernment of what is or is not his will. The second way that you can seek his will and his plan for your life, ask him to show you. David prayed, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. So sometimes it's just as simple as, God, I want you to reveal it to me. I want you to show me. Sometimes with me, and I know why he did that, you know, it's like a flashlight, and I see one step. I'm like, well, I only see one step, so I guess I'll take a step. And then I see the next step, and then I'll take the next step. Other times, it's like a headlight, and I can see a little bit down the road. And so then I walk down the road. There's only been once or twice where I've had what I'd call a mountaintop view, where he'd say, hey, let's go up to the mountain and I'm going to show you some things, a broader view, a further view. Most of the time with me, it's been those steps. Because if not, like if he showed me the longer view, I'd try to get there on my own. I'd figure out, yep, okay, I can do that, and off I'd go running. And so he just shows me the pathway a little ahead, and so I have to trust him. I just walk that pathway a little bit, and then he shows me a little more, and I walk. But I have to ask. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. So ask. Okay? If you need wisdom, ask. All right. So read the word, ask him to show you. Number three, seek input and counsel from wise leaders. That is another great way for us to discover his plans. In Amos, it says, the Lord does nothing, hear that word? The Lord does nothing until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. And that's one of the reasons every few years we have apostles and prophets in, and we say, Lord, whatever you want to speak to us through them, we want to hear it. Proverbs tells us some things about wisdom and planning and advice and counsel. Proverbs 19. Get all the advice and instruction you can. That is a great thing to say to someone in their 20s. Because when you're in your teens and 20s, you think, I've got it figured out. I can just go and do. I don't need anybody's advice. You know, mom and dad's given me advice whether I wanted it or not all these years. I'm just going to go with it. But, you know, it's also great advice for those of us who are older because we sometimes get set in our ways. And it's like, well, that's the way we've always done it. But Proverbs 19 says, get all the advice and instruction you can so that you will be wise the rest of your life. Come on. Proverbs 12. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. I think I'll just pass on commenting on that one. Proverbs 15. Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Many advisors bring success. So, to understand and discern what God's plans are for your life, read the word, ask him to show you what they are, and then get wisdom and counsel and advice. All right, so we were looking at ways that we can find out his plans for us. So remember, we said number one was you have to be willing to surrender your plans. Number two is you seek after finding that. And the third and final one is be thankful, keep worshiping and praising, and don't quit while on the journey. Because let's say somewhere along the line you make a wrong decision, and that wasn't exactly God's will. Isn't he bigger than that? He can certainly redirect. He can certainly use you right in the decisions that you have made. But you need to be thankful, keep worshiping and praising, and don't quit. Psalms. Psalms 50:23. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors God. Sometimes giving thanks isn't a sacrifice at all. It's easy. But when is it a sacrifice? When you're going through some difficulties. When you're going through some trials. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, if you keep to my plans for your life, if you keep to my will, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. That's Psalms 50:23. So God really does want us to find those plans. And he wants us to excel. He wants the best for us. And so we should be joyfully and thankfully going after those plans that he has for us. Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. Come on. I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So, as we're drawing the time to a close here, and I'm going to have the worship team up in a little bit, I think we should be asking ourselves, am I allowing him to guide me? He says, I will guide you along the best path. But that's only if we'll allow him to guide us along the best path. And are we asking him for his advice and instructions? He said, I will advise you. So are we asking him for his advice, for his wisdom? And we are to learn his ways and recognize his voice so that we can hear his instruction, we can hear his advice. Two final scriptures. James 5, dear brothers and sisters, is that all of us-ins? Come on. Dear brothers and sisters, I know you all probably love this word as much as I do. Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. So they planted seed, and now what do they do? Just wait, because nothing's going to happen to those seeds until they get wet enough to germinate. So consider the farmers who patiently wait for rains in the fall and the spring. You too must be patient. Oh, yay. And then take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. All right, so we're going to stand. Worship team, come up. I want to read Psalm 100 to you. And then we are going to practice. We are going to do what it tells us to do. Okay, so let's stand. And this is what we're going to do in closing. Shout! Come on, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Is this part of all the earth? This is it. Worship the Lord with apathy. Worship the Lord with frustration. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. Remember, we heard that again this morning. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good. Come on, has the Lord been good to you? His unfailing, means it never ends, never quits, never gives up. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Come on, whether you're the older generation, one of the middle generations, the younger generation, his faithfulness continues to every generation. Let's praise and worship him.